This is File 80. This is Jean McMillan. I am interviewing Mr. Bud Trotta, a.k.a. Louis Trotta, who used to be first selectman in town. We're at the Scoville Memorial Library, and today's date is September 5th, 2014. And we'll start with the genealogical stuff. What is your real name?
My real name is Louis J. Trotta, Jr.
And your nickname?
Bud. And everybody has called me that since birth.
Do you know why you got the nickname Bud?
My sister could not say brother, so it came out to be my Bucky.
Ah,
so
okay.
That's how Bud got started, and that's what I live with.
It's a good thing she didn't call you something worse.
That's true.
When were you born?
I was born January 25th, 1936, in Waterbury, Connecticut.
And your parents' names?
My father's name was Louis Trotta. My mother is Vincenza Gianetti.
Oh, you're going to have to spell that one.
We'll put down Jenny. That's easier. That's what she went by.
With a J or a G?
J. No, Gianetti is with a G. G-I-N-N-E-T-T-I.
Do you have brothers or sisters?
I have a sister who passed away. She was Barbara. Her name was Barbara Trotta.
Educational background?
Graduated from Salisbury Central School. I think it was 1949.
That would have been the lower building.
The lower building. It's the only building we had.
At that time?
At that time.
High school?
High school at Salisbury School. George D. Langdon was the headmaster at then. Wonderful place.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. It still is.
It still is. When I went, there was only 80 of us. It was a student body.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you remember how many faculty?
Probably about a dozen.
That's about right.
Yeah, they all lived locally.
Dave
Harris was one of the professors, their head masters there.
Carl
Williams came later. But Herrick, Wally Herrick. What is it, Dave Harris, Wally Herrick.
Corbin?
Yeah, Harold Corbin. Yep, lived on Main Street here.
Hoprud?
Hoprud was there. God, you know them all.
I've done a lot of interviews.
You must have. The Hop was athletic director as well as teacher, and his wife Joy taught also. She substitute teacher. A fellow named Tom Dorsey. He was the taught chemistry at Salisbury School then. Named Bill. Was it building?
William Kerr?
Bill, what Kerr was there.
It'll come. When did you come to Salisbury? How did you come to Salisbury?
My family's in the food business. My father bought the Salisbury Market, which is now the liquor store here. It's on Main Street.
Ah, okay.
This goes back now. In 1946, I think, 45 or 46, we moved up from Waterbury, Connecticut, Oakville, actually, which is right next door to Waterbury.
Yep, it is.
And my father bought the market there from Mr. and Mrs. Kimmerly, Charlie Kimmerly, and his wife, whose name, they were the owners of it, owned it for a long time. And we moved up. He came up in the spring, and we moved up in the fall. That's when I entered Central School in sixth grade. And that's how we got here. And then, life went on from there. My father then bought the buildings from Kimberly and then built what is the sports store now.
But that's the Peter Beck store, he built that.
Yeah. And he had all the buildings except the last building on the end. And Sam Whitbeck owned that last building. His wife had a knitting shop in there. And when she died, Sam sold that building to me. So we wound up with the business side of the street. It goes back a long way.
Yes, it does. I remember Shagroy's when it was in that set of buildings.
Yeah, that was first built with Bill Ford, who was a lawyer in town.
Yes.
And he also owned and bought Shagroy Farm when Shagroy Farm was really up and running.
When it was a farm.
Yeah, it was a big turkey farm. Mm-hmm. We were one of the first ones to can turkeys and chicken.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the wedding of Queen Elizabeth, the present Queen Elizabeth, turkeys that were served at her wedding came from Shagroy.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my word. Now, that's fascinating.
Yeah, that's a long, long time ago.
Yes, but still, yeah. That's a nice connection.
Yeah.
We have a connection with Lady Churchill with the Wake Robin, so now we've got another one with the Queen.
Yeah.
Love that.
They were...
All right.
They used to box their turkeys. Shagroy did. Mm-hmm. They had turkeys for the Thanksgiving holiday. Mm-hmm. All the turkeys came in boxes with the weight on the outside and instructions of how long they should be cooked and all that stuff.
So gracious.
No paper wrapping in.
No. Just turkey.
Box turkey went out, yeah.
Oh, my.
We didn't have to eviscerate them in the store. They were the only ones. They could wear all a eviscerated box for you.
Ah, okay. All righty. What did you do before you got into politics?
Well, I worked in the food markets. We had a market here that my dad sold to Bill Ford, and then went over to Canyon and opened up the Canyon supermarket and worked there. And then I came back, and my father sold that store, and I came back and bought the liquor store here in Salisbury from Bill Ford, and went into the liquor business. Actually, after, I guess it was 10 years, it changed it over into a wine store more than liquor. And politics was never anything I ever thought about or dreamt of doing. Mm-hmm. Just totally. But I sat on almost every board, town board, in my life here in Salisbury. I mean, mm-hmm. I just was on them. I so often said I meet myself coming out of one door and me going in the other door. And
but it's people like you that volunteer their time that makes the town work.
Yeah, and I loved doing it. It was fun. And got a lot of experience there. And then...
What are some of the boards that you were on? Planning and zoning?
Planning and zoning.
Financial?
I was never on the finance board because that was...
That was a different animal.
Different animal, but...
School board?
Not the school. I did, family services.
Okay.
The church boards. Anything volunteer. I've got a whole list of them home that they put on a plaque for me. And I can't remember them. I mean, I sat on...
You did so many.
Salisbury Bank and Trust Board. I sat on the hospital board. There's so many of them. And then ones that I really didn't be a volunteer on, I used to be invited to me to find out just what was going on and where the town fit in its place, you know.
When did you first run for any office?
Don't ask me the year. It was the year that...
Okay. What office did you run for?
I ran for treasurer.
And tell me your story, because that's a good one.
Yeah, no, I gave you the wrong name before. Al DuBois was town treasurer. And she's very popular. And her husband, Jimmy, was just the same.
I worked with Jim.
Yeah. And then you know Jimmy.
And, mm-hmm. And I knew Olive, too.
Yeah, and they know great people. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I ran under Louis Trotta. And boy, I got beat bad. I was going to get beat in the election anyways because nobody beat Olive. So I ran under Lewis, and nobody knew who the hell Lewis Trotta was. So after the election, they found out it was Bud Trotta who was running. And a lot of people said, well, I would have voted for him. But it didn't turn out that way. So the next time around, when I ran with Charlotte the first time as selectman, I changed for voting purposes to Bud Trotta.
And you got voted in.
Got voted in with Charlotte.
And that would have been in the 70s?
Yeah. Early 70s, I think it was. Anyways, and I had no intention, but George Bushnell wanted to retire. And he had been in office, I think, at that point, 25 years.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah. And Charlotte wanted to retire. And I got thinking, you know, because I was in and out of the town hall and so forth, and sitting in the board, so I went and talked to Charlotte. I said, Charlotte, I said, you know, we lack continuity here. And I said, you know, both of you cannot get out and expect two new people to come in and run the town. I said, it isn't fair to the town. And she said, what do you propose to do? I said, I'm not proposing to do anything. I said, I'm just saying one of you should stay. Mm-hmm. And we said, you know, George ought to talk about it. And
decide who's going to stay.
She said, well, why don't you run? And I said, I don't think so. She said, I'll tell you what. She said, I'll run again if you'll run with me.
Okay.
Now, keep this in mind. I'm an independent. I'm not registered to as a Republican or a Democrat. Uh-huh. Now, she says, fine, next thing I know, we have a meeting at the Democratic Party, and they said, first of all, you got to join the party before we can do anything. So that's what I did.
Good for you.
And, you know, it just worked out that I ran with Charlotte that year.
Who was your third person at that time, if George retired?
George had retired, let's see, it was myself. Oh. No, Smith didn't come on until the second time. I don't think he was on the first year with us. I think it was the second election he came on.
Okay, second time around it was you and Charlotte and whom?
Bob Smithwick.
And at that time he'd given up being the policeman.
Yeah, he was not a policeman. And he stayed the second selectman, and he ran. No, it was the lady from, oh God, come on, buddy. She ran. She was the...
Elise Harney?
No, it wasn't Elise.
Baruti?
Not Baruti. Oh God, did a lot of hiking in that through Asia and Mount Mukim and the Himalayas. And she was the third selectman. And,
well, we can look that up.
Yeah.
We can look that up.
God, she's a nice gal.
Okay.
So the three of us were there for a long time.
What's the term of office for selectmen?
2 years. Every 2 years.
How many years were you a selectman of some sort? Do you remember?
All in all, 10. Because it was second selectman.
All right, after Charlotte retired, then was it you and Bob Smithwick and someone else?
Yeah. I can't think of her name.
But it was a lady?
Yes.
You'll think of it. What would you call your management style? Were you laid back, or did you keep your hand on the wheel at all times, or?
Well, I tell you, I was involved with everything that was going on at that time, at all the time, because I wanted to know basically what was before the board of mm-hmm. finance, what was going on with the planning and zoning and zoning board of appeals, anything that involved the town.
So you really were...
I worked.
You worked. Yeah, you didn't sit behind the desk. You were out there doing it.
I would meet Billy Pickert, who was my foreman.
Oh, yeah.
And I would meet Billy at 6 o'clock in the morning. We'd lay out what's going to go down on the roadways and that. He would present it to me and say, what do you think? And we'd work it through and see, mm-hmm. you know, is this more important than this? And we had a great working relationship, and he's really a hell of a nice guy.
I've heard that from other sources.
Really sweet person to work with.
I've heard that from other sources. Were there any large projects that you can remember?
Oh, God. Well, it took me, and I don't like to hear you say me alone, but...
The three of you.
It took a long time to acquire what is now known as Trotta Fields.
For the record, where is Trotta Field?
That's just off of the Salisbury-Limerick Road.
Which is now Salmon Kill.
Salmon Kill, right.
And it's down by the
where the fields are there.
The nursing.
Nursing facilities. That whole area there belonged to Gus Pope and his wife. That was one project he felt that, because the only other ball fields that the town owned were at the grammar school.
And was this purchased for the recreation of the
town? It wasn't purchased. It was a gift.
It was a gift from Gus Pope?
Gus Pope family, yeah. A very, very gracious gift.
And was it specified the purpose of this piece of land?
Well, it was almost 4 years in the making of talking with Gus to get it, because the railroad track was there. Everybody, most people believed that the ball field in Lakeville is a town field. It is not. It belongs to the Lakeville Fire Department. And at any given time, if they get mad at the town, they can put a lock on that and mm-hmm. they have no use of it.
Okay.
And I don't want to put it on tape. It's always not a threat.
No, but it's a fact of life that it's a private field, technically.
It's a private field, and we didn't have a ball field for Little League ball. We didn't have an ice skating place for the kids, mm-hmm. except for the factory pond, and that was nip and tuck.
Yeah.
So we thought that, looking down the road...
It would be good to have something.
It would be. We had the railroad track, which was closed up years ago. Mm-hmm. And turn into a bicycle path. And it was ideal because you could get on it in Lakeville and ride down and just come across and be at the fields.
Were you involved in creating the bicycle path?
No, it wasn't at that time. We always, as a child growing up there, we used to ski the tracks down and go to the jump and do all that stuff. It was like another roadway.
Oh, sure.
Whether it was summer or winter, you walked it all the time. And when the trestles were up in Lakeville, we used to ride our bikes across that mm-hmm. to get to the lake, Mm-hmm. But it wasn't, it was before May that, it was taken yeah. over and maintained by actually a group of people who just maintained it. It wasn't any specific, the town would jump in occasionally. And then when the sewer bed came and expanded into Salisbury, bike went down there. So that was back a ways.
Yes. Any other projects that you can remember that you were specifically involved in?
Oh, extras program at the grammar school. That was a fight.
Why?
Well, it was a time when, you believe it, people needed a place where to, kids to go to after school. It was the old lock key program when we grew up, that you locked behind the door and mommy's working, daddy's working. Mm-hmm.
Now, what decade are we talking about?
This is in the 70s, 80s.
I'm going to say 80s because I taught at Salisbury Central from 67 until 91. And it wasn't called Extras. Yes, there was an after-school program, but it wasn't called Extras at the time I was working there.
It didn't last. They started one program, and it really never got off the ground 100%.
Okay. Because now it's
going forward. I saw, you know, my grandchildren, and I, you know, my daughter-in-law work, mm-hmm. and my son's work, and the kids are no place to go. They were...
Oh, there was a definite need.
And so I said, we have to do this. And I talked to some people, and they said, you're not going to get it going. I said, we tried it, and it didn't go anyplace. And so I talked to some people, and they said, how do you think you're going to do it? And I said, first of all, I'm going to go to the churches. I'm going to go to every organization in this town. And I said, ask for one volunteer to sit on this board that we're going to start a program for their grandchildren. And I said, I still get tears when I think about it. The reception. There wasn't one person that said no.
That's the town. That's the town. It's a wonderful town. And every time I've asked for help, whether it's oral history or now I'm town historian, people have come forward and said, sure, I'll help. And that's the town.
Well, when you get a person from every board, is it not asking the board for anybody, anything?
Mm-hmm.
I just want you so you can go back and tell your board what we're doing.
Right. Communication.
And it just, you know, we did it, got it together, got the state involved, because at that time they were giving money. The money wasn't mm-hmm. for the program. Money was for, you know, if we could get it into the school, that was the next big step.
Yeah.
They would take care of rentals, fees, supposedly.
Yeah.
And the rest was up to us to do it. And we got the school board. Principal was a little bit, you know, here and there on this mm-hmm. subject, because they didn't want to get involved in that part of it, because they didn't want the burden. And rightfully so, you know, this wasn't a burden to the school. That we made that clear. This was an after-school program. And I said, without the act, keep the process, or the eligibility to get into the school, we're not going to get the money from the state.
Right.
And I said, then I can't go to the town and say I'm getting this money for the state, but I need this money from the town
right.
to do it.
Matching funds, right.
And so we went through it. We got everything lined up. Went before town meeting. Asked the Board of Finance for $60,000. Then they knew it was coming, you know, what I was going to ask for. And one gentleman in the audience didn't think the town should get involved in the program, what happens at the end of the year. So I made a personal guarantee to him that if we didn't raise the $60,000 we needed, I would pay the town back the $60,000.
That was quite a personal guarantee.
And that kept him quiet. And he was a wealthy man,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I didn't have the money, to be truthful. But I figured if it was going wrong, I would get it.
Yeah.
I would get it. Because people had enough faith.
In what you were doing.
In what you're doing.
Yes.
But you don't, you know. And after I get through with this story, so we got the money, we got everything. Now, all the flyers are going out in the spring of the year, so the kids are be prepared for, and parents are prepared. And we had 50 signed up, right, ready to go in the fall. 3 children show up.
Oh, no.
Wow. What the hell went wrong here? So we start making phone calls and all of this. And it was the fact that so many of the people that work in it that already had their children in place were afraid to let go of that, you know.
It's hard to let go.
Because what happens if you don't finish their year out?
Mm-hmm.
Then we're stuck. try and get somebody. I mean, it's a burden on them. So it had to be successful. So after a few months, and they saw that it was working and the buses were going and people were coming, you know, and things were going, starting the second half of the year, it worked out fine. And then from then on, it went from, you know, not...
Oh, yeah.
From summertime to for after school to summer to before school. So it's a full-fledged program.
It is. I've done Boo Boo Cherry, who's now running it, and it is full bore. Yeah. It's from after school until quarter of six daily. They run it during school holidays and school vacations. They run it during the summer. And there is grant money from the state because it's regulated, and it's a wonderful program.
Yeah, I can't say enough of the first board that was there
It's a wonderful town because they think of the community and the benefit to the community rather than me. And that's something that I've learned with doing this.
It's like the summer work program. Now, I don't know if that, you know, I've been away for a
while. Oh, that's still going.
It's still going.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was in down shape when I was in office. And
Charlotte was involved in that.
We put in a fundraiser for that to bring up the money so we'd have it to last. And that has been a tremendous program.
It's dropped in numbers only because it's still privately funded. They don't have as many work sites as they did in the 70s, but I've been able to interview the three directors of the summer youth program, and my 14-year-old was a young man that went through the program last year, and he was willing to give me an interview. And so it's still going, and it's a great program for the youth in the community to learn how to responsibly handle a job.
I had an interesting thing happen when I was selectman in the program, and I always kept tabs on that to make sure that the things were there for the kids, and got a call from the person that was running the program that year and said, "Geez, I'm having an awful trouble." Said, "We have the kids working at the library and they're being sent home." I said, "What?" Being sent home. And so I went over to talk to the librarian at that time and said, why are you sending the kids home? She said, "Well, I don't have anything for them to do." And I said, "That's not the point of the program." I said, "The point of the program is to have these children be at a place at a certain time, do some things, stay at the length of time, and then go home. It's teaching them to go to work and what it means to have a job and getting prepared for what life is all about." And I said, "When you send them home, then at the end of the week, they're not getting what they think they're going to get in pay." And I said, "Then they come to get surge, and then, the program is going to go down
the tubes."
And she looked at me and said, "Oh my God," she said, "I didn't think look at it that way." I said, "I'm sure you're going to find something for them to do now."
And I bet she did.
And she did. And we never had that problem again.
That would have been in the late 80s, because I was working at the library then when we had summer youth program going.
Yeah, been going a long time.
Oh, it's been going since the 70s.
Mr. Belcher started it way back then. That family was an excellent
family. He and his family have been very, very generous to the town.
Yeah. A lot of others that had passed away years ago that left.
Oh, yes. Anything involving the Grove?
Well, that was my favorite place. I mean, grew up here.
Oh, sure.
We spent our summers there. Between there and the ball field, I was just, everybody was there. It's the only place you had. But, we just tried to, during the time, we did a few things to change. It was a problem with the waterway there, where the bugs were in with the lower water because it wasn't flowing rightly and corrected that. And, you know, the weeds have always been a problem with
them. Oh, yeah. Still is.
And, you know, milfoil. But
mm-hmm.
milfoil can be controlled if you want to use certain chemicals, which are not harmful to fish or anything else. But,
right.
you know, the pros and cons of that, we can just, I don't know how many books or studies or... And
a lot.
Archives on it. It's ridiculous, but some people took it upon themselves. They had docks, and they were using it, you know, and mm-hmm. their docks were clean, and their neighbors weren't, but you couldn't say, look, we're going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just too much confrontation over it and arguing. So we got, you know, we had the one cutter, and then when Hotchkiss School had their big, what do I want to call it? They had a major campaign to do $100 million to 10-year projects.
Was
at
that
Hotchkiss
Ted,
School.
Ted Davis?
No, it's when Ted was at Hotchkiss at that time, but he was doing, always did the water work for mm-hmm. the town, and that mm-hmm. when he was at Hotchkiss. But this is when they had the campaign for a 10-year campaign. They were raising $100 million for improvements to the campus, things they thought laid out programs that they had for alumni. And they raised the money, and as a contribution to town that year, they bought the second cutter. And that's how the town got the second cutter, the first one town had bought.
Okay, all righty. Any other projects that you can remember off the top of your head?
Probably when I get home. I'll
that's why I usually do a rehearsal.
You know, I mean, when you're there, you just do things.
Oh,
I mean,
sure.
We did the bridge at the on the corner here on Washington Street. That the first corner is go up and around
the bridge.
The bridge was in the works when I left the office.
Is that the one that goes over to
Selick
Hill?
This is the corner. No.
No.
When you go up and you know the bad corner that's there, the big
round
corner?
Oh, yes.
That whole thing was caving off, and we had to redo that whole thing, get it all rebuilt. That was one project, and we did a lot of things like that. You know,
a lot of it's maintenance, too.
Yeah, a lot of what we did was maintenance. And, of course, the school programs. You know, Charlotte was in on some of it and finished up when, you know, under my regime.
Now, what do you mean by the school program?
The building of the upper school.
That was done in the 50s.
No, the remodeling. The lower school was there.
Yeah.
And then it was a choice between, you know, bringing which grades which way, and then remodeling and doing a whole lot of work up there.
Well, I taught all over the place. I mean, I started off in the upper building, and then I went down to the lower building, and then I was put in the paper closet. And
but we had to redo the upper building because of the asbestos? Asbestos and that.
But that came later, because the new wing was put on in the wing that I went into, in the upper building, had just been put on in the late 60s.
Gordon Johnson ran the project.
That was in the 90s, the one that Gordon Johnson ran.
Yeah.
Is that the one you're talking
yeah.
about? Okay.
That's the one we did.
That
was a major overhaul.
I had left at that time. I'd retired at that time.
That's a major overhaul on that one.
Actually, we've got an oral history of Gordon Johnson telling about that.
Yeah. That Gordy ran that project for the town. He had, and Nemiroff was there, and he had a good board. It relieved a lot of pressure on the selectmen on that one.
All right.
You know, so there's a lot of things, you know, that just don't come to mind.
Oh, sure.
You're in the office that you just do as it comes up. The main concern had always been is the welfare. I mean, we put through special things and ordinances. You know, for helping the elderly.
Bissell Fund? Anything to do with the Bissell Fund?
Not the Bissell Fund so much. When I was on the board at Family Services, it was the Wittrich Fund, which we replenished.
Oh, yes.
Which helped people to young people to get in the homes, a lot of clothing and that. The Bissell Fund was pretty well taken care of between the churches.
How about affordable housing?
Affordable houses was instigated in the Project Sarum Village. Helped get the property. That property, the original property, was the owner was Charlie Ashman,
right.
Right.
I remember him.
And I was administrator of Charlie's will, or possessions. I was able to sell the property to the town. At a good price for him and a good town. Money was all raised privately. And then Sarum Village was built. Jack Rogers was on that board, Jeff Walker, myself. There's a lot of things that were going on back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just now take for granted that.
That's why history and the way it progresses is so important. I just finished Roger McKee, and he was saying people think that Lakeville always looked this way, and he started naming all the stores that have gone.
Yeah, Lakeville had everything, Salisbury had nothing.
Right, and now it's sort of the other way around.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just flipped.
Grew up the movie theater, bowling alley,
right,
ski shops,
and nothing now.
Music shop there, there's all kinds of things. It's funny how things change.
Oh, yes. Anything about baseball?
We had the old Lakeville Firemen baseball team. Salisbury fielded its own team back when we were growing up. And that used to be on the holidays, like 4th of July.
Sunday afternoons.
Afternoons. Always ball game going on.
Sure.
But Lakeville and Salisbury on...
They were rivals.
Rivals on the holidays. Summer holidays. The fireworks used to be on the Lakeville ball field, not down at Lime Rock Park. Our oil tanker never lit up my community services beyond me. I don't know.
Ooh, yeah, that was true.
Those tank cars used to sit up there on the tracks, and the fireworks were just in front of them.
Oh.
Oh, God. You'd never get away with that today.
Oh, Lord, no. Oh, no.
The whole town blew up. Then you had, the running of sewer lines all the way up to Hotchkiss School. And that was a big help to them.
Oh, yes.
All those type of things you know, that you think little about now.
Mm-hmm.
Expansion.
How about the ambulance or the fire department? Was there any special projects with them?
No, they had their own projects, and they do it well and knew what their needs were. So all we did was personally back them when they went before the Board of Finance.
Okay.
And, kind of say, this is what you got to do.
Yeah,
you help them, give them a few hints and how a presentation might go and or what the needs is. And,
right.
and you back them because they would, we always talked.
Oh, sure.
Find out what the needs are, and you know what the needs are. And it's like running the garage, the town garage.
Mm-hmm.
There are needs there that people don't realize. I mean, the first thing I did was buy equipment that makes the hoses for the, all the fluids for the, because they break so often.
Sure.
And we used to send over to Canaan to have made, right? Save time and you save money making them yourself. Billy Picker was the one said, he'd say, look, if we could cut the time down and get more work if we could get this, and this. And we talk about it. You see, and he'd get his information from the guys.
Sure.
The workers. And so when
you're
working together, it's just...
Yeah. It's using the expertise of a lot of people
in-house. Asking and saying, you go down and somebody, excuse my French, is bitching. You say, what's the bitch? Let's see... how are we going to fix it and get it even and going?
Sure.
And that's the way I try to operate.
But that's a good management style because everybody does their piece, and you're using the expertise of many different people rather than outsourcing it as it would be.
Biggest problem we had was putting computers in the town hall, getting things into you know, and this goes back to when IBM and them were just doing this kind of thing. There really weren't any programs, and it was a mess. It was a mess, and it was a hard time for everybody.
Sure.
And I am not a computer person. To this day, I don't like them.
I don't either, but I have to use them.
Yeah. I stay away from it. I say, every time I look at it, it says, I'm going to get you.
Yeah. I know what that's like.
But we did it, and it turned out well, because it's much easier for everything. Is there now in records?
The records are wonderfully kept, and the training. I did both town clerks. I've done Joe Cleveland. I've done Denise Rice. I've done Jeannie Bell. I've done Barbara Bigos in the town hall. And I'm always impressed with the amount of training that those ladies and gentlemen have to have and the scope of their jobs. It's fabulous.
It's a lot more now than it was when I was in office. It gets more complicated every day. I mean, Joe's been there since I was in office.
I think he said that you hired him, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I did. I had to talk to him. You know, he had a job with an accounting firm, and he was. I said to him, I said, Joe, I said, you know, you're not going to get a better job than this. Believe me. I mean, right, we were having a tough time getting somebody to fill that job as treasurer or running the book department up there. And I says, you know, everything else can go, but you got to have, this office has to be it. There's no ways about it.
It has to be well run.
You and the tax collector. That's all it takes to run the town. And if your two offices are off, man, you're in big trouble. So, I talked to Joe.
He's doing a fabulous job, as is Jeannie Bell.
Yeah, and I said to him, Joe, you're going to, believe me, I said, and I shouldn't say these things on record, but nobody knew I was doing it.
Well?
And so, I knew Joe would be good. His family was in town a long time.
Oh, yes.
They were involved in the community. He's a super person. And
he
is. Joe agreed to it. I said, look, Joe, because he wanted to open his own office at some point. I says, you can do that and still work in the town hall. And look, I says, everybody out there is going to be a customer because your name is out there.
Oh, yeah.
And you meet him. And he just looked at me. So some of the advice worked. The rest was up to him. And he's done a wonderful job.
I'm
proud of him. I really am.
Well, I think I had him in school, but I'm not sure. But he'll call me up and he'll say, Miss Porter, it's time to do your taxes. Joe, I've been married for 25 years and I'm Mrs. McMillan, but I'm still Miss Porter. This has been so interesting and fascinating. Thank you so much for giving me your time to do this interview.
Thank you for asking me.
I appreciate it.
If you have questions at any time, please feel free to call. If something I can fill in a blank for you.
Thank you.
Call me.
I shall do that.
Because I love to do it. I love the town. And, you know, I think it's very important that the history is out there and presented the right way.
Well, I hope we do a good job with it.
I think you are.
Thank you.
So,